No time for pondering.
Hi, this is Ricky Craven with Fox NASCAR, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN.
To the end, would you follow me? 720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us, we've got an Xfinity Series champion, longtime career in Monster Energy Cup. You know him and have seen him on places like, you know, ESPN, Sports Center, and of course now part of that great team at NASCAR on Fox, a rookie of the year in both Xfinity and Monster Energy Cup, and been part of some of the most exciting finishes in NASCAR history, the one and only Ricky Craven. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane.
Well, I think this is great. You know, it's exciting to see you being part of the team. You know, you've always been one of those great personalities in motorsports and been able to kind of transition from what you've done successfully on the track in all of those series into being able to convey some of that kind of either information and a little bit of entertainment to the fans. So excited to see that you're going to be over at Fox now as we get ready for the 500.
Yeah, it's an excellent group, and I've always admired Fox Sports, Fox NASCAR. They contribute more to the sport than anybody, in my opinion. And of course, I feel a connection to Daryl because of the finish at Darlington, gosh, 17, 18 years ago, where Daryl and Larry and Mike Joy called the finish, and now we're all part of the same team.
Well, I know you lived it, so you probably haven't gone back and watched it at all, right? So you haven't, since, you know, of course you were there. Those guys are still there, and, you know, they're there for a reason. They're some of the best. I would say absolutely the best in the business. Mike Joy is absolutely awesome. Larry McReynolds, from a crew chief perspective, is as good as it gets. And, you know, and then you got DW. He was on with us last week talking about the excitement leading up for it as well. On the broadcast side, you know, as we see some of those kind of drivers make that transition, DW has done it as well as anyone, and then you spent, you know, 10 plus years doing the broadcast side over at ESPN and now over at Fox. When you see some of those drivers like Jamie McMurray, part of the team, right? We did a retirement interview with him just a few months ago. He's going to race at least one more time, and he's part of that team as well. Or we look at, you know, Dale Jr. last year coming into the booth after a career on the track. For you personally, you know, over a decade, you can't be wrong, right? Obviously you're doing a lot of things right, but how much trouble was that as far as that transition from behind the wheel to behind the mic?
Yeah, I was reflecting as you were describing all the drivers that have made that transition, and I was just thinking and reflecting on a dozen years at ESPN. I remember the first couple of months, Dane, I wanted it bad, you know, not as badly as I wanted to be a successful NASCAR driver, but along those same lines, I went after it. And first month or two, I felt like I was just too anxious, and if I didn't relax, I was gonna run myself out of the business. And ironically, I sort of reverted back to my driving days, where when I finally got the opportunity to be a Cup driver, I wanted it now. I pushed hard, and I had to learn to relax, and went on to win Rookie of the Year, and then things just continued to progress. And that would be, that's probably, I guess, the best way I could describe it, is that it wasn't until I learned my role and became comfortable with it and that I embraced it. And then everything I say was predicated on my experiences or what I truly believe. And I guess that pretty much keeps me out of trouble.
Well, but think about this, right? It's the fact that they put you there is because of the experience that you have, and you're going to be able to just share kind of your thoughts and impressions, your input, the kind of things that you would have experienced or you're thinking maybe the drivers are experiencing behind the wheel. The tough part of it is that, you know, as coming up, you know, in Maine as a driver, you know, you're able to do that on a small stage. You're able to do that, you know, with other contemporaries that are kind of just getting going. But when you go from, you know, a Monster Energy Cup Series driver into the broadcast booth, you're automatically, immediately doing it like on the biggest stage possible, right? So you get a lot of, I don't know, it's just a lot of pressure, right?
Well, that's how I felt the first couple of months. And then it disappeared. It truly did. It disappeared when I changed my focus from trying to be perfect to just trying to be relevant and give people something that they hadn't heard or didn't know, you know, that the race fans are very, very, very bright and very engaged, and they have a deep, deep knowledge and sense of what's going on. So you can't fool them, and I think you get in trouble trying too hard. So I know it sounds simple, but regardless of what component you apply it to, if you relax and you have a certain composure and and focused, and you're going to be fine. But I truly believe there was a parallel between the first couple of months of television and first couple months of big league auto racing. I truly did want it too badly, and that typically leads to mistakes or being anxious. But it's been great, and I love what I do. And NASCAR's been my life. I'm just thankful to have had so many good opportunities.
Well, you think about the last at least couple of years, and everybody contends that it has been some of the most exciting racing. It has been some great races. Certainly that finish, the finishes to get towards the end of the season and kind of crown a champion have been exciting down to the wire, down to the last handful of laps or even the last lap, right? And so you've got some exciting racing. But you look at what you did and were a part of, at the time, and that race at Darlington, and let the listeners know we're talking with the one and only Ricky Craven, new addition to the amazing Fox team. One of the participants, one of the two along with Kurt Busch in the closest finish ever in NASCAR history. I watched that obviously live, and we've all seen it a million times. Are you surprised that with all the racing that's happened before and since, and when you get to that level, just getting to that level means you're really talented, but what you were a part of is something people still talk about today?
Yeah, fans and customers and the audience, they all embrace great finishes, and not just auto racing, which I can relate to because I was a part of it. But think about baseball, football, basketball, and hitting a 3-point shot as the time expires, or the closing seconds of a football game, and you're in the red zone, and the walk off home run. That's truly what I experienced at Darlington in 2001, and I am surprised, Dane. I am really, truly surprised that after all these years, it continues to have the energy behind it. But I'm not going to dismiss it. I do enjoy it. And you asked me, I think, at the beginning of this discussion, if I had ever watched that race.
I was only kidding. I figured you had.
Well, right? No. Get a load of this. I never watched the race from start to finish, which I'm actually going to do now. But I've watched the last 3 or 4 minutes 100 times, right? that's what we're talking about, is that moment that you kind of dream of as a kid, and I lived it.
Yeah, part of it isn't just because it was so close, the finish was so close. It was because of that few minutes, the few laps beforehand. It was because of the passion that you had, and I've seen some of those videos, I think we all have of you and Kurt kind of breaking down the action, what you guys were thinking at the time. And so I think that's part of it, is the passion that you guys had, the will to win, kind of banging at the end there and ending up with that super close finish. And that's the same kind of passion that you bring to the broadcast side. So let's get into the Fox stuff. The new studio is amazing. Talk a little bit about working with that, because you say a dozen years ago getting into the broadcast booth, a lot different. Certainly you're talking about a lot of the same stuff, drivers and cars on tracks, but the way that it's done, the way that the networks are able to kind of tell that story has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I again can go back to my driving career, and when Cal Wells called me and he said, look, we're considering hiring you to drive the Tide car, I made up my mind immediately. I want this, I'm going after it, and I'll do whatever it takes to be the driver of the Tide car. And when Steve Craddock called to meet with me a few months back, and I visited the Charlotte studio, and I was exposed to the technology and the commitment that Fox had made, the fleet of talent that goes from Jeff Gordon, Darrell Waltrip, Larry Mack, and so forth, and to even the talent like Shannon Spake and Adam Alexander that I've been associated with for years, all the way down through the executives. I said, this is the deal that I want. This is the opportunity that I want, the next chapter. And I'm eager to go. We're going to go after it all weekend long, as the green flag drops at Daytona for practice and the clash. I just can't wait to get going.
Well, talk a little bit about that. As we get to Daytona, it is, DW bucks a little bit at the whole calling it the Super Bowl. It is one of those great. It's the premier race, but it isn't downhill from there. And for you personally, as a driver, it was, you've listed it as one of your great experiences. You finished third. That's no slouch, right, behind Jeff Gordon and Terry Labonte. So talk a little bit about, from a driver perspective, how Daytona, certainly you're fresh and ready to kick off the season, but how different is it as a driver?
It's completely different than any other race, and it is so by and large because the legends of our sport declared it the great race. Richard Petty winning it 7 times. Darrell Waltrip wanting to win it so badly and having to wait and wait and eventually doing it, I believe, in 89. The racing world believed that Daytona owed a Daytona 500 trophy to Dale Earnhardt, but that alone would not have gotten him the trophy. And when he won in 1998, I think the whole world celebrated.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that was Darrell trying to call me. So, you know, the race is like no other, in large part, Dane, because we have 2 months to think about it and prepare for it and anticipate it. And that's a big part of what separates it from all other events.
Plus, it's one of those that, you know, you get a chance to finish great in that, win that race. You can almost make an entire career on it. Now, here's one of the things I wanted to get your viewpoints on, too. Not only have you got a lot of experience and all that perspective from behind the wheel and, of course, on the broadcast side and covering the races and everything, but as we get into another season and you see sort of that transition from teams that were sort of the leaders and the powerhouses and some teams coming up and some teams falling back, you raced for, you know, Hendrick, which is still one of the strongest teams. You know, you got Stuart Haas doing really well now, and you've raced for some of those smaller teams as well. How important is it from a driver perspective, you know, the equipment? You can have all the talent in the world, you got to have a decent car. You know, can some of those smaller teams compete? I mean, in this day and age when maybe more information through the internet and all that stuff is available?
Well, I think it's part of the fascinating story of the last half dozen years. Is ordinarily it's a struggle, and I experienced it a little with the Tide team. We were a single car team, but we did win. And Martin Truex Jr. has changed the whole complexion of this discussion, because along with Cole Pearn, his crew chief, and his former car owner, team owner Barney Visser, they created this small team culture in Colorado, this environment that was so unusual and underestimated, and they carried all that right to the top and winning the title a couple of years ago. While Hendrick Motorsports, you know, would be viewed as the New York Yankees of auto racing, there's still an opportunity for a Florida Marlins, if you will, to compete and ultimately win the World Series, NASCAR title. I think that flavor's critical. You got to have the underdog for sports to be entertaining, for sports to be compelling, and I think NASCAR's got that.
The race, of course, the 17th is coming up, and that's for the 61st running of the Daytona 500. But Fox has got great programming on coming up from Monday all the way through Sunday. So, Ricky, and let the listeners know, we're talking with NASCAR great Ricky Craven. So where can people see you this week, and where should we look for you as we get closer to the 500?
We'll be on Race Hub beginning Saturday. We have 3 opportunities this weekend, our debut. I'll be working with Michael Waltrip and Regan Smith. Lindsey Zarniak, I believe, will be hosting. So a lot to look forward to. It's you know, it's the top of the first inning, but this is a game that I've been thinking about for a couple of months. Really, really proud to be part of Fox Sports. And, you know, they've got quite a tradition, particularly with the Daytona 500. So I feel the responsibility that goes with the job.
Yeah, well, I love all the baseball references, too. That's great. So for people who want to catch up with you on social media and, you know, maybe some of those platforms and keep up with your adventures as you kind of share while you're sharing, while people are enjoying what they're seeing on TV, where can they go?
Let's see. It's I just changed it. So it's Ricky Craven 32. That was my car number in what I call my glory days. So number 32, the Tide car. And I'm becoming more active with Twitter. I'm really energized by this new opportunity, and I see where the world kind of migrates to Twitter when they want information or where they feel they need to get caught up, and I'll do a better job in 2019.
A commitment to do a better job. Well, we love what you did on the track. We were huge fans. Obviously, the Tide car was one of America's favorite, one of my personal favorites as well. We're excited for new and very cool things coming up with Fox as well. And so get at it, Ricky Craven, and thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on today, and all the best to you and the listeners, and you know, tune in for the Daytona 500. It's we got a lot of flavor this year, a lot of personalities, and I think it's going to be a great year.